So I want to thank the organization for inviting me to give this lecture on dose descriptors and dose assessment for cone beam CT scanners. First, I'll give a very short introduction, then I will explore the dosimetric methodologies that can characterize the X-ray beam. I'll show some measurements in CT dose phantoms, Monte Carlo calculations, and I will end with some pragmatic considerations for the present and for the future. So first, the introduction. I have to get used to the one for, okay. So the cone beam CT now is reality. In my hospital, early this year, we installed the Achillion 1 scanner that offers a cone beam of 16 centimeters. And it's a big difference with the scanners that we were used to. So the other scanners that are used now in clinical practice are mainly helical scanners, the 1664 slice scanners with beam widths of a couple of centimeters. But now we have to get used to actual scanners that have a cone beam of 160 millimeters. I'll start showing you some pictures of what that means. We have now coverage of the entire heart, so within one rotation we can image the entire heart. We can do perfusion studies. We have coverage with this 16 centimeters of the entire brain, which allows us to do perfusion studies. And in pediatric CT, this scan is also particularly useful. This is an image of last week, an 8-year-old female, and we imaged the entire chest in 0.35 seconds. So that's what the radiologists are doing now to the medical physics. Medical physicists are challenged to assess the new technology of this new type of scanners. It's difficult because appropriate dose assessment for cone beam CT scanners is not well described. In this presentation, I will share my experiences with the cone beam scanner, and all my results are for the full beam width, so for the 160 millimeter beam width. I will explore with you the dosimetric methodologies that you can apply for characterizing the X-ray beam, for doing measurements in CT dose phantoms, and for Monte Carlo calculations. So we had the advantage that we were allowed access to the prototype cone beam scanner. So we visited Japan and did some measurements at the 256 detector row scanner. We got some experience, and later we returned to do the measurements at the 320 slice scanner. We had a lot of instruments available. Here you see the prototype scanner. We had big phantoms available, but we started doing measurements free in air. We explored many dosimetric methodologies. We had the standard 100 millimeter pencil chamber. We had OSLs. We had a 300 millimeter pencil chamber. We brought some Gavkramec film with us, and we used the Pharmatype thimble chamber. And the Monte Carlo dosimetry technique was also applied by us. We characterized the X-ray beam free in air. So we started characterizing the beam along the X and the Z axis. For these measurements, we fixed the position of the X-ray tube. Well, first some measurements with the thimble chamber. This is what we got. This is what we got. The thimble chamber is a very convenient chamber to characterize the X-ray beam free in air. It's small, and as you can see here, we show the effect of the bow tie filter. This is the dose profile along the y-axis, and that profile was achieved very conveniently by moving the table height. If you move the table up and down, you can get such profiles as in the last slide. In this slide, I show the dose profile along the z-axis. You can achieve that very easily by moving the table in and out of the scanner. These dose profiles, I don't think that the average medical physicist will measure them. They're particularly useful if you want to benchmark or prepare your Monte Carlo calculations. More convenient is the use of Gavkramec film, and then you can even do a full 2D dose evaluation. This is the configuration, again, a fixed X-ray tube. here you see on the right, left, that the film is changing color when it's exposed to the X-ray beam, X-ray tube fixed again. Here we used two films to cover the entire beam, but later we were more clever and we put the film a little bit higher, and then one film was enough. So the Gavchromic film, very convenient to use, sensitive in the range of 1 to 200 milligrays, and we got a 2D dose profile. If you do a proper calibration, we calibrated the film against the pharma-type chamber. If you do a proper calibration, then you don't only get qualitative results, but also you can translate them into quantitative results. These are the absolute dose values in 2D for this cone beam CT scanner. And these results corresponded rather well with the results that we got with the pharma-type chamber, which was in this case our reference. So another way of measuring the X-ray beam is along the Z-axis. So we're very used to measuring doses along the Z-axis. We used the OSLs, the optical stimulatable luminescence-based dose meters, and we got very good results. Here I compare the OSL dose measurements with the pharma chamber measurements, and here we characterize the beam along the Z-axis, and you clearly see in this case the Hill effect appearing in the beam. So until now, the beams that we used in computed tomography were so small that we didn't see the Hill effect, but in this cone beam we clearly see the effect, or the Hill effect, in the dose profile along the Z-axis. So measurements along the Z-axis, so we do them often with the pencil chambers free in air. We did some measurements with the 300 and 100 millimeter chamber free in air, and later I will show some results. Dosimetry in the phantoms. We were lucky that we had large phantoms, 35 centimeter long phantoms, and we thought that these were appropriate for a standard of reference for our CTDI measurements. We had the large phantoms, and we used them, of course, in combination with the long pencil chamber. So what is difficult in establishing a CTDI for this cone beam scanner? This is how we measure CTDI now. It's, for example, a 64 detector row scanner with a beam width of 32 millimeters, the head phantom. So the head phantom is 150 millimeters long. We use a 100 millimeter long chamber. And this is our current standard. What happens with the cone beam scanner? Well, as you can see, the phantom and the ionization chamber are fully within the beam. So this is what happens, and if you use a longer chamber and a longer phantom, you get a geometry that is more or less comparable with the geometry that we use with the scanners we use today. And according to Murray et al., this is a quite appropriate geometry to perform measurements at this cone beam scanner. Well, for the body phantom, the same images. This is for a scanner, a 64 detector row scanner. We make the beam wider, so the beam is now 160 millimeter wide. And again, we see that we have not an appropriate measurement geometry. And here with a 350 millimeter long phantom, we get a geometry that allows us to establish CTDI in a proper manner. So we performed a lot of measurements with the long phantom, but we also did measurements with the smaller phantom, because we thought, well, the smaller phantom is widely available and the smaller pencil chamber is widely available. Let's see how these measurements compare. I will show you later some results about that. The evaluations took a lot of time, because we evaluated all the tube voltage of the scanner. That are four tube voltages and all the bowtie filters, three bowtie filters. So that added up with a lot of measurements. The phantom, so some of the measurements we did, I will not report on that in this presentation. The OSLs were also very suitable for measuring dose profiles in these long phantoms. We did these measurements, and we did also measurements with the pharma type chamber. In these phantoms, we fix the phantom in the center of the beam, and then we step the pharma chamber through the phantom. But we also fix the chamber in the center of the phantom, and then we stepped the phantom through the beam. We did all of these experiments. We had a week to do our dosimetry, and we acquired a lot of data. I do not have time to report on these results. We did some experiments with very long phantoms. I will not report on them either because of the time constraints. I think it's important that some groups are going to perform some Monte Carlo dosimetry that support those evaluations for this scanner. Here, a Spanish colleague of mine who participates in the work. By the way, the group of Mike McNitt-Gray also participated in the measurements and is going to do probably Monte Carlo dosimetry for this scanner. But we got enough information to prepare our Monte Carlo algorithms. We modeled the entire scanner in the Xcode, and now we are trying to evaluate patient dose. That is work in progress at the moment. Here's some preliminary results for the cardiac CT scans that we're doing with this cone beam CT scanner. So in red, you see the dose distribution that results from an actual scan of the heart with a width of 160 millimeters. Well, the Monte Carlo technique allows us to make even larger phantoms. We did some calculations with a 700 millimeter long CT dose phantom and a 600 millimeter long pencil chamber. I think I have some results about that later in this presentation. So, some pragmatic considerations for the present and for the future. The CTDI, how do we calculate that? We did some measurements with the small phantom and with the 100 millimeter long pencil chamber, and we had to translate that in some kind of a dose value or a dose index. Here you see the formula for the CTDI 100, and if you fill in this formula, n times t means the width of the reconstructed slices. That would be for the cone beam scanner 160 millimeter. So a straightforward implementation of CTDI 100 would give you this formula. But I think you can imagine that you already feel that this formula underestimates CTDI. We have an integration length of 100 millimeter, and we divide by 160 millimeter. That's not compatible with the philosophy or the intention of what CTDI should be. So I calculated something we called CT dose 100. I think it will be called in the future CTDI extended, and in that case you divide not by the width of the reconstructed slices but just by 100, the width or the integration length that you used to calculate the dose. So in this case there's a very simple relationship between CTDI 100 and the CT dose or the CTDI extended, and it is the CTDI extended is 160 divided by 100 times the CTDI 100. In fact, this value, this CT dose, is the average dose along the pencil chamber. And with the other phantoms, with the longer phantoms, well, we calculated the CTDI 300. Now it's very easy to come up with a definition, the CTDI 300. We can use the definition, the same definition, but change the limits of the integration to minus 150 to plus 150. So some results. Results of the measurements free in air per MAS, and in this case for a medium bow tie filter and 120 kV. We have results for all the configurations of the scanner, but it's rather confusing to show you all the data. Well, the first two columns, the KVs are, these are results for all the four KVs. The first two columns of results are the CTDI 300s in air. And we derived that from the 300 millimeter pencil chamber. But if you do, if you sample the beam with the thimble chamber, then from this sampled dose profile, you can also calculate a CTDI. Look at the values as we expected. Both are very accurate ionization chambers, and the results are very comparable. If you calculate the CTDI 100 in air, by dividing by the width of the reconstructed slices of 160 millimeter, then of course we get a substantial underestimation of the dose values. But if we calculate the CT dose, 100 in air, or the CTDI extended, then you see that the results are surprisingly in good correspondence with the results we had in the longer phantom. So the fourth column refers to measurements with a 15 centimeter long phantom and a 100 millimeter long pencil ionization chamber. And the differences between the large phantom and the small phantom are only a few percent, between 3 and 5%. I'm sorry, I'm now reporting about the measurements, though the measurements free in air. I shouldn't have brought in the phantom. I was a little bit confused with slides that I will present later on. But on the CTDI 300 in general corresponds very well with the CT dose 100 if you perform measurements in air. So, a conclusion, some recommendations on the dosimetry free in air. I think as a medical physicist, you should at least do a qualitative assessment of the scanner, and you can use many dose meters. You can use the film, the CR plates, OSLs from Landauer, TLD dose meters. And what you can do is you can establish the exact width of the X-ray beam. So the width of the X-ray beam you can expect is always somewhat wider than the width of the reconstructed slices. You can also do a quantitative assessment of the beam. Then you can use the small pharma type ionization chamber, TLDs, a new instrument introduced by RTI, especially for CT dosimetry and prepared for dosimetry with the cone beam scanners, is a point dose meter. And I heard at the exposition here at the AAPM that they will provide it with a stepping motor to make it suitable for measurements in actual mode and cone beam scanners. The OSLs from Landauer, you can use them for quantitative measurements, and the pencil chambers. The 100 millimeter pencil chamber, you probably have that, and the 300 millimeter pencil chamber. I don't think it's accessible for many medical physicists. Now let's go to the results of the measurements in the phantoms. This is a drawing of the 350 millimeter long phantom within it the 300 millimeter pencil chamber. I want to ask your attention now for a geometrical effect. This is a normal geometry for doing CTDI measurements. But look at the length of the exposed length of the pencil chambers in the periphery. It changes depending on the position of the X-ray tube. And that will become important, as I will show you later. This is the small chamber and the small phantom. In this case, there's no geometrical effect on the exposed length of the ionization chamber. You see the chamber is entirely within the beam, and that will influence our results. So some results for the CT dose body phantom for 4 kVs and the medium bow tie filter. The CTDI 300 results, which we take as our standard of reference, then the CTDI 100 in this results, a clear underestimation. But now the CT dose 100, or the CTDI extended, measured in a small phantom. So now we compare the 300 millimeter chamber with a 100 millimeter chamber, and the 350 millimeter phantom with the 150 millimeter phantom. And we see again a very good correspondence in the measurements. The underestimation of 2% at 80 kV, and an overestimation even at a tube voltage of 80 kV of 2%, and underestimations of 2, 4, and 6% if we use the small phantom and the small ionization chamber. The head phantom, here are the results, our standard of reference again, the CTDI 300 measurements, and then the CT dose measurements, or the CTDI extended, slightly larger differences, but still within 10%. So the underestimation of the CTDI if we use the small phantom and the small ionization chamber, is in the order of magnitude of 10%. We did some Monte Carlo dosimetry. Here are those results normalized to 1. So for the 300 millimeter long ionization chamber and the 350 millimeter long phantom, that's the value we normalized to 1. Well, look at what happens if we make the phantom even longer. A 700 millimeter phantom and a 600 millimeter ionization chamber results in a slightly higher dose, 4% higher. Well, that's what we expect due to the scatter effects. Look at the results for the smaller phantom. We reproduce with the Monte Carlo calculation an underestimation of about 5% of the CTDI if you use the small phantom and small ionization chamber. Interesting, Dr. Farig used the small phantom and the pharma type chamber. And you can see if you use that, the measurement CT dose 24 weighted more or less refers to that geometry, that performs even better than the 100 millimeter long chamber. So some indication, again, that the point dose meter has certain advantages. Now, with regards, I asked your attention for the geometry. I showed that there's a good correspondence between the weighted CTDI measured in the long geometry in the long phantom or the smaller phantom. So the CTDI weighted, good correspondence. But look now at what happens at the center and the periphery. These are normalized values, normalized to the 300 millimeter ionization chamber. And if we compare the measurements in the center, then we see that the CTDI extended is much lower for the smaller phantom than in the longer phantom. But on the other hand, in the periphery, I measure a CTDI that is higher in the smaller phantom than in the longer phantom. That is a very strange phenomenon, and I had some problems in explaining this, but it's all in the geometry. The 100 millimeter long chamber, its exposed length does not change when it is in the peripheral position. Its exposed length is just its sensitive length of 100 millimeter. And in one of the drawings that I showed you earlier, the exposed length of the 300 millimeter chamber changes. I cannot go into detail, but that explains why you see such a strange phenomena that a dose in the periphery can be higher if you compare these measurements. So, some conclusions. Dose in a CT dose phantom, I don't think that medical physicists are going to use the long phantom and the long chamber. It requires special equipment, it is expensive, and it's not very easy to transport. The CTDI 100 yields a serious underestimation, but the CT dose or the CT extended yields, and especially the weighted value, yields a rather good estimation if you compare it with the CTDI 300 weighted. So my conclusion is that I think that the 100 millimeter pencil chamber will be used also in the future to assess cone beam scanners for the time being and until we have new concepts for CT dosimetry. This chamber is much smaller than the cone beam. So in addition, if as a medical physicist, if you have to assess the scanner, you want to measure the actual width of the beam, including the overbeaming and the or the penumbra. So for that you can use the film, the OSLs, the TLD, a CR plate, small stepping chambers from the pharma chamber or the RTI chamber. How about the future? Well, first the past. We started CT with fan beams and axial acquisitions. We had the CTDI FDA, which was based on center measurements, periphery measurements, dose in PMMA, an integration length of 7 times the slice thickness, plus or minus 7 times the slice thickness, and then we had to put bandages on this concept. We thought, well, plus or minus 7 times the slice thickness is not very convenient. Let's do just an integration along the entire ionization chamber. So we had the CTDI 100. Then we said, well, dose in PMMA is not very convenient, so let's change to dose in air. reporting five values, the center value and the periphery values separately is not very convenient. So let's define a CTDI weighted. Then we got the helical acquisitions with pitch, and then we accommodated the CTDI for the pitch, and we had the CTDI volume. Now we're discussing adaptation of CT dosimetry to the actual length of the scan, and that might give us the CTDI-L. The CTDI is a very complex quantity. Note that it's not an additive quantity. For example, we cannot add the values of a head CTDI and a body CTDI. The CTDI does not always predict patient dose, although it's sometimes suggested. There are patients of different sizes and there are different body parts. A CTDI is a dose index, but not so much an indicator of patient dose. And the later suggestion of CTDI-L might not be fully compatible with actual cone beam CT scanners. So are we on the right way? Are we going for longer phantoms, longer ionization chambers, different sized phantoms, or perhaps one size phantoms? Smaller ionization chambers is an option, the pharma-type chamber, the RTI chamber is on the market now. So there's a lot to be discussed amongst medical physicists. What do we need? We, of course, need a well-defined, measurable, sufficient, accurate quantity that expresses the output of the scanner. I think instruments have to be portable and not too expensive. And I think for the time being, the best option is now to proceed with what we have, the CT dose phantom with a length of 15 centimeter and the 100 millimeter pencil chamber. But it's clear that concept in CT dosimetry will have to change. So what the future brings, I don't know, but a lot has to be discussed. So now my questions. First question, current clinical practice for acceptance testing of the dosimetric performance of actual volume CT scanners with a coverage of 16 centimeter is based on measurements with optical stimulated luminescence CT dose meters, the 35 centimeter long CT dose phantoms in head and body size, a 30 centimeter long CT dose pencil ionization chamber free in air, or it's the standard 15 centimeter long CT dose phantoms in head and body size and the 100 millimeter long pencil ionization chamber, or measurements with a small pharma type ionization chamber in the 15 centimeter long CT dose phantoms head and body size. Well, you can vote. So I think the opinion you have about the standard practice is the same as I have. I think the standard now for the medical physicist, what is most practical, is to use the standard 15 centimeter long CT dose phantom and a 100 millimeter long pencil ionization chamber. Fundamental considerations exclude assessment of the computed tomography dose index for actual volume CT scanners with a coverage of 16 centimeter. So if the weighted factors of 1/3 and 2/3 are not adapted appropriately for the actual volume CT acquisition, when the CTDI is measured with a small, with a 100 millimeter long pencil ionization chamber, if the prevailing temperature and air pressure are not recorded at the time of the measurements, if the CT dose phantoms head and body size are shorter than 70 centimeters. So you can vote now. Okay, I think I must apologize for defining the question very clearly. Some confusion in the audience. I'll try to clarify that a little bit. What I meant here is the drawings that I showed, that if you do a CTDI measurement or think that you're doing a CTDI measurement with a small phantom and a small ionization chamber, you miss the geometrical effect which is inherent in the CTDI measurement. So the long geometry, there you saw that the exposed length of the ionization chamber changes with its position. And it does so also for our fan beam scanner. So if we do measurements with a CT ionization chamber, the exposed length changes depending on where the chamber is placed. And that is not anymore the case if we are going to use the small phantom and the 100 millimeter ionization chamber in a wide geometry. So I think that I'm the blame, that I'm to blame that you were a little bit confused about this question. Dose assessment for actual acquisitions with an actual volume CT scanner with a coverage of 16 centimeter should take into account the effect of, and I will refer to as a medical physicist, what do you do when you have to do dose assessment? You have to take into account overranging, overbeaming, or the penumbra, the post-patient collimation, the pitch factor, or the focal spot size. I hope that this question is answered a little bit better. I think it's the answers are clearer. Okay, so much more consensus in the audience. And I made a mix of concepts that are exclusively for helical CT. So overranging is something in helical CT, of course. The pitch factor is something in helical CT. Post-patient collimation is something, I think, mainly of the past. Focal spot size is not so important, but what is really important, if you're going to use the small, the 100 millimeter chamber and the 15 centimeter phantom, which are smaller than the actual beam width, very important as a medical physicist is that you assess the actual beam width and including its overbeaming or penumbra. I thank you for your attention. I think I'm available for questions. I think the audience, seeing the audience, most of you want to leave. I'm available for questions if you want.